just in the car on this beautiful Sunday going to Tom's house when I had to slow down because there was a cop car with lights on. And, you know, so I got over the other lane and I was like, hey, that's weird. He's not pulling over another car. I looked to my right. There's like two more cop cars in the parking lot of a little dermatology office. Three cops responding to a dermatologist. I'm like, is there a person with Morgulons in there going nuts? Like, it's not all in my head. You better look at my pictures. Yeah, been there, dude. Having Morgulons is really hard. And having said that, it's also an opportunity. That's right, to show strength. Any challenge is that. I want to continue with Sarah's episode today because it's such a great example of just that. So thank you for listening. This is Crystal Clear, the host of More Morgulons, the world's greatest podcast about Morgulons. If you like it, leave a review. If you don't like it, still leave a review. Please make it funny. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned.
It sucked even more when I got there, and the guy was like, the doctor was literally like, I never mentioned Morgulons. I didn't know anything about Morgulons.
Right.
They just immediately
discharged you
in lockdown for 3 days.
What?
While they did a bed search for a mental psychiatric unit. And yep. So, and mind you, I didn't have my child. She was with her dad.
I'm sorry, I don't know Massachusetts laws about involuntary committal, but that's...
Isn't that insane?
That's habeas corpus.
I'm suing that, as soon as I can, I'm suing this hospital, it's called Sturdy Memorial Hospital, and it's basically, kind of everywhere in this area.
Right.
They kind of own,
It's always like that, yeah.
So they send me, so I'm 3 days on a bed search, and then I have to go to a psychiatric unit in which I was released after 72 hours, the mandatory hold.
Wow.
And with no diagnosis, they did put me on an antipsychotic while I was there, but I was not told to continue it I already have a psychiatrist, she didn't want me to continue it. They did health tests while I was there.
Right.
And they found that, they found health concerns with me, mm-hmm. and they could see that I had a rash on my face. It was all, what
so
is going on?
So this is in the midst of a divorce?
Yes. And by the way, my husband's mother works at that hospital for
4
years.
My God. Just when it couldn't get any more mortifying and fucking outrageous. Wow.
And I missed my dermatology appointment because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So then at that point, while I'm there too, my hair is getting worse. Everything's getting worse. My face is getting worse.
Sure. Yeah. So and you're under this microscope when...
I'm under a microscope, so I can't even touch anything.
Fuck. You know, so you can't even look through the microscope because you're under the microscope.
Literally. So I wasn't even looking at myself to even, but stuff was still growing and stuff was still falling out of
sure.
my face.
Yeah.
People were making comments.
Oh God. The first 2 years, just, oh my Jesus Christ. Yeah.
It's been horrendous, but
First
so then
couple
when I get
years.
Out and I go to the dermatologist is associated with the hospital.
Oh, great.
So immediately they I'm psychotic.
Right.
She did actually do a biopsy.
Okay. Okay.
And I made her, I forced her.
Right.
And,
right. As is, as you should, you know.
Yeah. And that came back with nothing,
right?
Which I didn't really know too much about anything still at this point. I didn't know what Morgulons was still.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Wow, that's crazy. You didn't even know that there was this thing that you were going through that was there was all these other people going through. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, just going through this. Why are they doing? Why would I ever be?
How did you feel when you heard of what it was and realized you weren't the only one?
I didn't want to believe it was this.
Like, yeah.
I really tried to make this be something else.
Yeah. Yes.
Like until it just couldn't be anything else.
Right. You know? Right.
Like I was like, you know, so it was like,
yeah,
she gave me ketoconazole shampoo.
Yeah. Right. Of course we've all had that. Yeah.
That made all of the dead morgies fall out of my hair.
Yeah.
So I lost like half of my hair.
Right.
It was mortifying. In the shower, like just chunks and chunks of hair.
Oh my God. So I ended up and you said you're Italian, so I bet you have a lot of hair.
Oh my God. I have so much hair. It's insane.
Yeah.
So like it just like was like just content. So I end up waxing my head, which by the way was more painful than childbirth.
God bless
like,
you.
I need to get all of this like stuff out of my, and I had a friend that like had, that did waxing.
Yeah.
And
girl, just, like, I'm sure you ain't the first nor the last that's done it with this going on.
I mean,
it's like your hair's alive. Like, what the fuck is going on? My hair is like, not my hair. What the fuck? It's insane. Like, I think it's hard for people that like don't have this experience to even fathom like what a psycho like horror movie this can be, especially if you don't know that like that this has happened to other people, like that you're not crazy essentially.
Like I was definitely convinced that like my hair had live worms in it, and
yes.
I'm still not convinced that it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like,
right? What do you mean by live? I guess like,
you know, like it's
wild. Yeah, I mean, I get it, and I guess I'm like, I'm so desensitized to it all at this point. Like, I don't even, even bother me, which is such a huge relief. I mean, I'm so joyful that I'm in that place. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's still shit sometimes where I'm like, seriously? Like, what the fuck is this? You know, but for the most part, it's just, I think that a lot of people with this, they get that desensitization, and that's why it gets a little bit less intense over time.
Well, I think that that's why they put people on it, on the psych medicine. You know, I think it's my belief, so I definitely do have theories about this now. The first person that told me about Mordellons was my friend Liz, and because she noticed like hairs coming out of my face and stuff. Like, she was like sitting here watching me pick stuff out of my face, you know, and I don't know how she knew about it. Honestly, I kind of think that she might have it. You know, and then my ex-boyfriend, who I was dating right before this, and I think he might have had it too. And so he had a lump on his balls, and like I found information that like that can definitely be a sign, and I don't know. So I was definitely like skeeved out about that. But he was the one that sent me the Joe Rogan. And he's like, I think this is what you have. But also, like, I remember when we first started dating, he like had really bad eczema that he was like working really hard to cure and stuff like that. I think
that's kind of a crazy weird coincidence, like eczema. Mordellons.
and I kind of started to get it when I started seeing him, but like it's hard to tell because
By the way, the whole thing with like the like male, like the like having some kind of something Mordellon-ish, like with like the genital area region, like that is so, I feel like, common. A lot of people are, you know, I think a lot of people just kind of like scabies is like kind of an STD, but it's not. You can also get it from contact, like sustained contact. I kind of feel like that describes some of the transmission patterns, at least that me and you and other people, you know, I've met. I don't know about wide scale, but
I definitely think so. I mean, but I think that if you,
I found a long, like 2 foot long, like head hair, like wrapped up in my vagina the other day. I was like, "What is this?"
the strangest thing.
No, it's bizarre.
I think that you can't, like, I think that there is a genetic factor.
Yeah, it seems weird, doesn't it?
Being able to catch this because of the fact that...
The family members.
And because Ebony Cornish, like, she worked on the human genocide.
Oh, yeah. Okay, tell me about... I want to hear that. So, wait. So, Ebony Cornish is, like, a kind of a Morgellons doctor, Morgellons doctor?
Yes. Okay. She's one of the Charles Lee Holman. She's also one of the ILADS, like, you know, spokespeople. And
what's ILADS?
Lyme. That's, like, the Lyme
organization. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And she is, like, a really fascinating... She, I think Jeremy Mercury also went to her.
Oh,
well.
Right. Okay, and, yeah. I think he mentioned that.
And then he did an interview with her as well. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But she is, like, the way that she just kind of... I feel like she knows what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they know more than... Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like when she got put on the Charles Lee Holman, then more government involvement actually happened than we know about, if that makes sense. So I do think that there are things that might be going on behind the scenes that maybe are just not in the public because I don't think that they know everything. I think that they're learning still and trying to learn, but I'm suing CDC. Like, after everything happened to me, like, I'm gonna be the one like that does this.
Come on down, let's get a pickup truck full of glitter.
Yes. Oh yes. Okay, so my mother committed suicide.
Oh my god.
And you know, with this being such something that does have these factors, and then what happened with my child, I'm not allowing this to continue to happen to people because I'm either going to also kill myself or get $200 million minimum. Oh. My mother committed suicide, and before she did that, she was put on opiates, and that ruined my life because I lost my mom when I was 12, 10 years before she died.
Oh my God.
I've never touched opiates after she committed suicide. Mm-hmm. I did start drinking and I developed alcoholism, but I've been sober for over 4 years now.
Good for you.
Since he was able to use, you know, my past with drinking.
Oh, even God. Though I met him, I can imagine what you must have faced with the stigma and the, you know, misogyny and whatever, you know, all the shit.
And his family is just like literally connected to everyone.
Oh,
and
God.
It's just
very unfavorable circumstances. It's kind of just galling, and it can be really, I think, I don't know, almost just so traumatic that it's so hurtful. It's just so hurtful. I can't imagine just the nightmare of being separated from your child, being concerned about your child's safety, while personally experiencing this completely surreal and insane, isolating experience, and being subjected to the fucking medical, mental health, industrial, pharmaceutical complex, you know, like all of that. It's so heavy.
It's insane. And thank you for being here to like listen, because I know it is heavy.
No, and I'm grateful that I'm grateful because I'm hoping that as you're giving me the heavy things, that it's taking a little bit of the load, because I know that's the way that I have felt when I've been engaged with this, you know, this effort to connect with people, to, you know, not allow this to isolate and determine me, you know?
Yeah.
Because we have some power, whatever we take responsibility for, we have a little power over, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's really like without God, I wouldn't be able to get through this.
Amen.
And, you know, but also like I'm at the point now where like, and I love God with all my heart, but I'm very angry with him. Like I'm, you know, I gotta be honest. Like I was watching Kanye's like most recent interview where like he said, he's like, I dropped the con. He's like, you know, I had to work for this, and a lot of the stuff that happened to him, and like the gang stalking, and the all like his life was threatened. His child was like his children were taken from him. Like he was publicly humiliated and told that he was crazy when he was had was being gaslit by all these people. And I can relate. I can relate to like God not showing up to fix like this stuff, and but I don't denounce him. It's just one of those things where it's like, honestly, God, like fix this or kill me. Like, and I hate to be like that morbid, but it's like
No,
how
I, yeah,
can you
that.
expect for people to like, it's like honestly, like all week I've just felt like Jesus died on the cross, and like, yeah, that was like a horrific death, but like I have thorns coming through my head for 3 years. Like literally like at the crown of my head, that's where the thorns that are like literally like causing my hair to fall out.
Right.
And like my hands are trembling and they hurt, and my feet are swollen, and I have like stripes on my back literally that I can't even reach that are unexplainable still.
It's
And
like
it's like,
a stigmata almost. It's
yeah,
really
oh, that's the word I was looking for. Stigmata. Yes.
yeah, I can see that. And I think that I, for me personally, I turned to the book of Job, and
Yes.
I found a lot of comfort there.
I think that's the first time that I listened to your podcast was like through that a while back, like
Oh,
when I first
good.
had this.
Oh,
It
that
was the
makes me
Job episode,
happy.
and I was like, that was so crazy because before I even lost my hair and everything happened, an elder at my church prophesied that book over me.
Oh.
And then I happened to just stumble upon his name is Skip Heitzig from Calvary, like one of the Calvary churches, and he has a it's called like Bible from 30,000 feet, and what the book of Job just happened to like, the algorithm
Yeah,
happened to
yeah.
put that on my feed one day, and I watched it, and
Interesting.
the parallels, I'll send it to you, but like
I'd love
it's
to
like an
see
app.
it. Yeah.
Was a really good story to listen to,
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah. There's something
but
to
Job's
that.
suffering ended, and like I don't know, like it's hard. And I'm like sounding very suicidal, and but I'm not like, but it's just hard to like wrap my head around the fact that like my child's not coming home. Like, you know what I mean? Like they stole her from me. There is nothing I can do about it.
Well,
And
is there any room to think that the story is not over, that nothing has been decided ultimately forever, or is that not?
I can't get my child back when she's 15 years old and transgender.
I hear what
I
you're
can't
saying.
go through, like, you know what I mean? I can't go through more trauma. It like there's just like at this point, like I can't.
Well, and here's
My
the thing though, the future is not decided, and I think in some ways, like, it's so much easier to just try to live the best you can in today, because
I've been doing that for 4 years sober, though. You know what I
yeah,
mean? Like
that's
I'm
amazing.
over.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean, though? It's like I've been doing all the next right things one day at a time.
Yeah.
I've been doing it all. Like there's not a mother that was a better mother, that was more loving. Like my daughter, I remember like when I first lost my hair, and like I was having a hard day, and she's just like an empath by nature, and like came up to me and gave me a hug and was like, "I love you, mommy. You sing me songs." Even when this was like the hardest, I was the best mom that I know, literally. And I'm not trying to say that to like be, I
No.
did not do one thing that would ever constitute having my child taken from me. And all the judges here, like they have decided. So, yes,
Right.
I know that there are things that I can do, but I do not have the
Yeah.
fight in me. I don't have it. Like, I'm broken. And, like, you know,
How do you find, who in your world is your support?
No one. Oh. Like, there's not anyone who understands, who really takes anything at face value. Uh-huh. Because once you've had a psychiatric, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, believe me, I know. I work in this industry for a decade. Yeah. It is highly stigmatizing. Highly, 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 highly stigmatizing.
You know, I have like people that like will pray for me and stuff. But one of the things my husband did was when this happened, the only place that I ever go is church. So when he did a DCF report, he said that someone from my church called and said that I was on drugs because I wear hoodies to church and I have scabs on my face that appear to be 10 times worse than they were. And I'm thin. So I'm doing crack, coke, or meth. So that took away all trust from anyone in my church.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's totally undermines your credibility to label you as a crackhead or whatever, meth head, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like,
and I don't know if it was him, which I believe it was.
Right.
Or if it was really someone at church, but why would there just be a random, you know, thing? Like,
regardless of, who was the source of that kind of thing, it's just so hurtful.
Right. So it's like, it's just really in this, the only person there really is God. And like, you know, for me, it's like, God, you're good all the time. I sing it all the time. Like, you know, but I'm not really believing it anymore. Like it's like, I don't know. And I don't mean like I have more faith than anyone I know. So it's like, I feel like at that point where like, I'm feeling like I'm Job, but I'm failing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel
even Jesus struggled with his faith on the cross. You know, he was asking, why have you forsaken me? You know, and it's natural and of the course of faith to be questioning and prevaricating in the trials, in the tribulations. I think that makes you human, and I think it makes you kin to Christ, you know?
Right.
But I also know that, oh my gosh, it is just, it is, I think what I find really important is that identifying in that like figure and thinking of the thorns that you mentioned and all that, I also have to be so mindful to not get in a mindset of a victim mindset. I'm not going to be a martyr, because I'm not a martyr. I'm certainly not the only person who's done, you know, dealt with this and more, because we all have our, you know, stories. And I think like, it's so important for me to kind of find some way to not fall into that mindset, you know?
Oh, I know.
Because it's so disempowering. It's so disempowering.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I mean, I can get into that and stay there for a week, and that's not good. Like,
it's not helpful, you know? It doesn't help you. It doesn't help me.
But
it doesn't,
like, yes, yeah. I am a victim. Yes, this is going on. But, like,
right.
All that does is make me want to, like, not fight anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, like, a really important thing to... I feel like a lot of people kind of get there with this, even might not be as extreme. They might not be going through like the whole child thing, plus a whole like different, like, that's everything for me. And like my mother committed suicide 10 years ago, like the effect, talk about, what is it? Like, contagious or whatever. Like, that effect when that happens by your mother.
Oh my God.
All I could think about for years was killing myself.
Oh, so, there's like, so much like research around that, and the, you know, yes, it is very like, it is very influential, and yeah, it's a strong like, I think challenge, like a negative like challenge to it. Yeah. I can't even imagine. Yeah.
So it's like having this, and then like, so I guess like for me, it's, I fall into a category of like, I'm either totally avoiding it or totally in it. And yeah, that feels like it could be something bipolar, but it's not, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, no, it's, yeah. I mean, I think it's easy to, because, you know, our experiences are intense, and I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty intense person emotionally and psychologically, you know, and
yeah.
And I think like it is kind of, it is like a trial of sorts, because it will test your ability to like self-soothe, to like, to, as you said, like sort of keep the faith. Like, I think that's a huge challenge. And when you have so little support, like with, that's crucial, girl, we got to get you some like local help. I mean, that sucks. I hate that.
Because, well, I'm in New England, and there's not a lot of this. I mean, there is some, like I said, my doctor has Mortellans on her website, and she was treating me for Mortellans.
I feel so, like one of the other listeners is from Massachusetts.
I know there's someone that was from Connecticut. Maybe Maine. There's someone from Maine.
Maine, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's definitely New England people.
We got to get like a little network set up here.
I have met a couple people that believe that they have Mortellans as well. But it's just like,
locally or like online? Like, or,
locally.
But yeah.
Locally.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, more people have come up to me. More people, I don't talk about this. Right. Because the one time I did talk about this online, and I didn't even say that I had it. Yeah. I did a creative blog post about like Britney Spears and when she shaved her head and suggested that maybe there was a Mortellans outbreak in 2007.
Interesting.
California.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like I was just highlighting this disease and highlighting that.
Yeah.
And
good idea.
That's something that my husband used against me and brought that to the judge.
Of course. It's so irrelevant to your parental custody.
My attorney told me not to bring up Mortellans and to say I have something different in the beginning. So since then,
any good attorney would.
Yeah. So it's been like, but people will come up to me and ask me if I've heard of it, or like, you know, start to talk about it and stuff.
That's interesting.
Quite a few times. And I was treating me, I didn't test positive for Lyme, but she was treating, I had CMV, so cytomegalovirus, and they found herpes, which I've never had a herpes general like outbreak. I don't think it was that kind though. I can't really remember.
Right, right.
And I had like hyper or the thyroid here, the one that makes you thinner. So I was like treated for like the systematic stuff, and that didn't make me any better. And then I got my appointment with Dr. Cornish, so I just continued with her, and she first she had me take reactive magnesium was the first thing. And then like she really focused on diet a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, speaking of diet, talked to Richard Kuhns quite a bit in the beginning. I know that you, I don't know if you had any experience with him other than watching Jeremy's, he's the deep riding silk guy.
I don't remember him. I don't know.
Oh, there is a connection with the diet. There definitely is a connection with the diet. And in some way, I don't know exactly what it is other than these things love sugar and I love sugar. So
we all love sugar.
Yeah. Right.
I think all humans almost love sugar, but
I mean, I don't know if they feed off of it or like whatever cofactors, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you have like yeast, and that's like a sugar definitely makes it worse, and I love sugar, so it's tough. But so Dr. Cornish had me really focus on diet, and then gave me the cell core, or give me, I had to pay for it, obviously.
Yeah, I gotta ask, I gotta be nosy, I know this is rude, but like how much was the bill on all this?
Oh, it's not rude. For Dr. Cornish, it was, I want to say the first visit was $500, and like mind you, this is like on Zoom. And then I think it was $250 after that, which was, all of this was cheaper than my Lyme specialist, who was in person, but it was cheaper and more effective to see Dr. Cornish.
That's a good business.
And she does look, I would suggest, out of all the doctors, that she is the one that is the most like reputable, reliable, and is going to help you the most. And she's less of, let's just like try everything and let's figure out what's going on and treat the symptoms that we can treat. So I liked that approach. I just couldn't afford to continue with her.
Well, and I don't think most people can. And I see that's what I find to be like somewhat contradictory, because although I do think that these doctors clearly help people, because people tell me that this doctor helped me, so they did, you know, and at the same time, I find those prices to be somewhat predatory, because you can't claim to have any evidence-based, like, practice towards this condition. It hasn't even been validated as, like, a condition to be studied in that way, you know? There's no...
Well, I know. I think that you have to look at it this way, right? If you're so desperate, and
I know
there's no
that's one, what I mean. It's predatory, in that people are desperate, and so they scrounge together this money to try to find somebody just to acknowledge that what they're going through, you know, without stigmatizing them.
For me, just that acknowledgement,
was priceless.
Psychologically worth it. You know what I mean? Like, if you can afford to just get that validation that you're not crazy, that I know what this is, I've seen this, that like that she knows my symptoms before. Mm. Like that was to me like maybe the best money that I think I spent on all this was just to be validated. And not in a way that seems like, I do think that a lot of these doctors are in one sense, but because she had such an active, this woman has accolades. Like this woman doesn't need to scam us. Like, you know what I mean? Like this woman is not somebody that needs to do any of this. She's got more than enough of everything. She's finding a way to help us. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that should be more of, that's the mindset that I got from it.
Yeah.
Because I know what her history is and like where she's worked and like what else she could be doing.
A lot of times, like, the relationship too, you know?
Yeah. But like a lot of the stuff that she like taught, like I feel like too, her plan was easy enough to be able to follow on your own after, like you didn't have to continue with treatments with her if you could find a doctor that would prescribe you the medication that you need and stuff like that. So she did have me on, like she mixed it up. So we did doxycycline and minocycline, like different antibiotics, which were helping me. Like if I'm not on doxycycline, then my face gets really bad. When I'm on it does help. It doesn't go away all the way, you know? So it's like, if my face is just having protrusions of like whatever the shards of glass are coming out of my face, and it clears it up temporarily, is better than nothing, but it's not, you know, it's definitely not enough. I don't know. So the cell core that she gave me, I've seen that sold by one of the TikTok and YouTube kind of like parasite cleanse doctors. That goes viral a lot. He's a legitimate doctor.
What's his name?
I don't remember. I'll find out though. I subscribe to him. He thinks everything's a parasite though, but he likes this line too that she prescribed the cell core. I never took it. I never did it. So I still have all of them here, and I don't know why I never did it, because like maybe that would really help. I don't know why I never took it. It costs $400. So
do you think that, because I'm not interested in remedies at this point, because I don't believe that any of the remedies will address it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, I think I don't know. Like I think that this is just something that I think it's nanobots. Like I do, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah, I
I've
do
come to
know
the
what you mean.
conclusion where, like I've come to the conclusion where this is not, and I think that Dr. Cornish knows that. You know what I mean? That's where, like I think that these people might
Interesting.
know more than we are.
Well, we know that they at least don't know as much as we know. I mean, because we're the ones living with it. But yeah, I know. I always wonder though if these Morgulon's doctors, if any of them actually doctors, nurse practitioners, nurse doc, whatever, voodoo witch doctors, like whether or not they have. Whether or not they have Morgulons, like, do they have it?
Oh, they do.
I don't know.
I think that Ginger Saintly does. She's had, I mean,
I
she's
never
had
seen
mine.
any like glittery whiskers hanging out of her chin or anything. I'm just
I
saying,
know, but
but I
she's
don't
had other
know.
methods.
I'm being ridiculous, but like, yeah, it
So,
is interesting though that they why these particular people do they also have it, you know?
well, maybe,
I mean, I feel
or
like if they did, wouldn't they want to be outspoken about that? Or I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not. Not everyone has the same feeling about.
someone said something, I think it might be Kate or Derek, that said that they thought that Strigger had it. And by like looking at him, I think that he might have it. I don't know. It's hard to, you know, but now that I see it everywhere. So it's hard to like,
Yeah, what
or, you
I
know,
was
and
about to say, what do you think about the idea that we all like, you know, there's some people that say, oh, everybody has Morgulons.
I don't think that everybody has Morgulons. I think that no, I think that there's a genetic component to it. Like, I think that, I don't know if you've ever followed any of Dr. Klinghart's work, but he's gone in a different direction. He is a Lyme person more, and I don't know how much he's done on Morgellons, but he's gone into the virus theory with like that being more of the contributing factors to like Lyme and like long-term Lyme and having like more symptoms. I
Yeah,
think
I
that
mean, it's just, you know, we can all, you know, have our theories, but it's like, what's, has he done research and what, you know, I mean, how robust could it be? It's like one paper, maybe. You know, I just don't know enough. I feel like when I was in my research phase, I never really found anything that seemed like really good research. Like, there wasn't
well, how much
anything.
have you, how much, so did you ever listen to the German guy from the Charles E. Holman?
I think I've listened to everything. Like,
Okay.
there was a
Well,
time when I was furloughed and unemployed, and it was early on in the
yeah.
Morglons. So yeah, I feel like I've read like everything, but maybe not, you
Well,
know.
in the Charles E. Holman on their YouTube, they have like playlists, and one of them I really like devoured. And one of the guys that was on it is he's the European person on the board, and in
Hey, I'm
Germany.
having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Just can you like I'm just like you're kind of going in and out.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, so in Germany, they have a lot of patients, and they're doing a lot of work in Germany. So I don't, I've never heard you mention that before.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of morgues in Germany.
Yeah, so I thought that that was really interesting. But like, what this all says to me is kind of what I think you're saying is like, but nothing's adding up. But the only thing that does add up is the locations and the targets. So I do believe that this is some kind of, and this is all new. Like, and I don't know if it's coming from like listening to you or just affirming kind of the thoughts that have been like coming through my mind, like where this isn't real. Like I like it's real, but this isn't, there's nothing about this that is of natural source to my body. And naturally, my body would be able to expel this stuff, or this would kill me. because most people are not like living with this debilitating, like, you know, having open lesions on the biggest organ of my body for 3 years without, you know what I mean? Like, so it feels very man-made to me. And that's kind of, I after mean, the, all this,
the objects, like the weird, like, yeah, it's glitter, like it's foil. It's what it's, in the God's name is, it's a definitely man-made, like glitter. Like,
I haven't had glitter in my home for 3 years. And right. I'm still pulling glitter out of my skin.
I have a trail of glitter behind me right now.
Like, there's flying objects everywhere, like, there coming are. Out of my skin. And, like, they're not bugs. Like, it's just, like, hairs.
Like, yeah, little, like, fibery, little curly, whatever, white fiber, white flyers, I call them sometimes.
Like, it's so insane. And, like, that never happened before.
It sure did not. It sure did not.
I'm 35 years old. I've been cognitive my whole entire life. Right, I've been, you know, somebody that was outside playing in the dirt. Never. I've had dogs my whole life. I've never pulled dog hair out of my face. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's why it's obviously, it is obviously though, like, somehow there's been this like acute, like hypersensitization to the presence of these objects, these environmental objects that are quite tiny. And like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know by what means, I don't have that information, but I do think that it is spreading and it's been spreading. And I think like, as it spreads, you know, there will be more, we'll learn more.
Yes.
You know, we will learn more.
Maybe, and maybe.
Well, we're learning more right now.
We are the second phase of the test, and they're just trying to see what it takes to break this test group so that they can just desensitize everybody so nobody will ever know what's going on.
No, nobody's going to break me. Nobody's going to break you. Nobody's going to break anybody here. Nobody's getting broken.
I just think it's just kind of like, I don't know. I think that they're... If this has like anything to do with like people being targeted and China and stuff like that, I feel like the first like base group was like, okay, well, we're going to target people that are like farmers and like moms that like nobody's going to take seriously. And then now it's like the second group is like, okay, well, now let's go to like intelligent people that work at in like banking industry, work in.
Well, we know with like Morgellons, there's the nurses are like apparently highly likely compared to other occupations to have this. It's just so interesting. And I'm interested. What do you do?
I've always been an executive assistant to like the VP of like, I was at a company called Eastdil Secured, which is a Wells Fargo company.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and like, so that's so why I was like,
you're a people person, organized. Smart.
And I tested really high, like in like the MCAS, which is like the standardized testing. Yeah. Like, when I was a kid. So yeah. That was part of my, I don't know, I just think it's really strange testing on kids and stuff like that. Like, all these testing, like, these bubbles that we had to fill in to find out what our IQ was that really didn't mean anything. Like, that didn't actually go anywhere. It didn't, like, count for anything, but they put so much pressure. And then when I did, like, the tests, like, the MCAS test, like, they, like, contacted her, like, your daughter's really intelligent. Like, it was, like, strange. Like, my mom was like, what are you talking about? My daughter doesn't even read.
Yeah, my, you know, like, that sounds like Tom. Tom would probably say that, too. He was like, I think people thought I was retarded when I was in school, in elementary or whatever. Like, they did not really get it. And then it turns out, like, oh, wait a minute. No, never mind.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. Like, I don't know. I just, there might not be anything to that. But if it was a China attack, and they were going after, you know, our brains, because like, you know, if everybody were just like, if everybody that's smart and has a sense to them is just looking at their face all day.
We know that they, you know what I mean? Yeah, BGI Group has, you know, they've worked with the PLA to do research on the genetic profile for like high intelligence, because they're trying to like get this, you know, hyper soldier, you know, advanced, evolved, whatever, CRISPR-ified Peking soldier. I don't know. It's very scary, and it's like sounds like science fiction, but this is like stuff that, you know, it's like on the State Department website. It's like readily available information, and it's like, what role does that play? And the whole COVID thing, you know, it's funny. I was just thinking like how, like at the time that we were getting morgues, like the whole world was kind of getting COVID. That's when that whole pandemic thing broke out. And it's like, we were like inadvertently like shielding, like taking ivermectin, like for morgue lines while everybody else was like trying to take ivermectin for COVID. Like,
I know.
It's just like, what's up with that? Like, very weird.
It's so strange, right? That was the strangest like correlation. That's why
who knows? Maybe like, we would have like died of COVID if we hadn't been taking ivermectin, like prophylactically or something.
Yes, I have a low body weight as well. I know that's something that you mentioned. Yeah, in the episode.
That's interesting.
Similarity.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I've also been like sick my whole life with different things. So I've had like chronic migraines. So my doctor, the Lyme doctor, she believed that I've had Lyme since I was 4. That was like her kind of assessment of this. She's like, I think you've had Lyme for a long time. You got another co-infection.
Based on what?
My just talking to me and my symptoms and like what I've experienced throughout my life. I had chronic ear infections, that I was on antibiotics like all the time for a while. Like different neurological things that like, you know, I've been diagnosed with ADHD and Asperger's, like, things that could also be, you know, linked to the neurological effects of having long-term Lyme. But I don't know how much I believe and how much I don't believe in what's real, what's not. But all I know is that it seems as though the media has propagandized the, you know, the masses to just believe whatever, you know, and to not look past a certain point and look at truth. And when you start to look at truth and you start to understand, and your own personal algorithm can like go to what the next level is and like what would be next, well, it just seems as though, like, you know, has been said that having a war that is not fought in the traditional method would be something that they do. And it seems like they would test it on certain people and that they would use, you know, like COVID to mask it. And maybe have like the same treatment for COVID. You know, like there's just like so much that it's overlaps.
It's definitely overlapping. And it's really hard for me to like kind of pull it all apart and put it back together again, I guess, you know? And
you do a really good job though. Like you really do. I want to say that because you like the stuff that you pull out and it's so relevant. Like the stuff that you've just like found and uncovered, it is so relevant and it needs to be.
Thank you. That means so much.
It's like, I know that like, because I've never been a conspiracy theorist. I've always just trusted.
Yeah, me too. Yep.
So when you actually like take the time to look beyond, like one of the things I like about Dr. Cornish is that her thing is like going outside of the box, you know, looking outside the box and figuring it out. And that's the kind of person that I am. And like, it's really appreciative, especially when I have a debilitating disease that I can't really do the type of research I'd like to do in things, to have it already out there, to be able to at least look at it and make my own decision as to whether or not I think that what I've been fed my whole life is real, or if there's more going on that needs to be at least considered so that I can figure out how to treat this effectively.
Because
I don't want to treat something with like a bunch of like antibiotics if that's not what it is, you know?
What would happen if you stopped treating it?
I have lots of times. You know,
what happened?
October of 22, I got really bad. But I'm not like on treatment all the time. Like it's hard to get antibiotics, like harder to get antibiotics than it is to probably get like, you know, narcotic drugs in this area. So like, I mean, but every time, so this is a strange thing too. every time I go to the doctor for anything, they look at my face. Like if I usually will go to like an urgent care or something like that, they'll look at my face and they'll ask me how long I've had this. And I say for how long I've had it.
Yeah.
And they immediately write me a prescription for a high level doxycycline.
Yep.
And even if I have like, and usually I'll go in there for it. I'm not going in there for my face because my face is always like this. Like I'm not, you know, I'm usually going in there for like cold or something like
yep.
that.
Yeah.
So it's just so strange. Like how I do feel like maybe more of these doctors are catching on to what's going on and trying to treat it the best way that they can and to get around the insurance
yeah.
process. And that's a,
yeah. I just don't think that the doxycycline, I don't think that it really worked for me. I don't think, I think initially it seemed like, oh wow, it's really working. And then like 3 days later, it was like, ah, it was horrible.
Oh, it doesn't work for
and,
me.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work. And I just feel like once I try something and it doesn't work, I kind of moved on. So I tried a bunch of shit. You know what I mean? Just like all of us probably have, you know? And like,
yeah.
Now I'm done trying remedies. And I know like a lot of people are not in that space. And I feel like that has been the only thing that has made it better. The remedy is like not trying to remedy. Because nothing works.
Yeah.
Nothing fucking works.
I agree. No, I 100% agree. Like, it's like the day I was like, I'm not washing my sheets today.
Yes, girl. Yes. Preach that.
No.
I am not like, washing my sheets today.
Like, I'm not doing laundry today. Like,
praise. Yes. Yes.
And like, that was like, honestly, like that was probably like a really
breakthrough.
Big
breakthrough.
Mild, yeah. Breakthrough. You know, and I'm not putting bleach on my hair.
Yeah,
like,
not necessary. Like, not necessary.
Yeah, yeah, like all that stuff. You know, so I've definitely gotten past that. And as far as for the doxycycline, there's definitely something else. I think like if maybe not just the Morgellons, like because the Morgellons never gets better. It's something else is getting better. You know what I mean? I still have the fibers. I still have the moving stuff. Like all that stuff is still going on. But I'm not infected. Like there's like an infection in me.
Right. Yeah. You definitely don't want to have any kind of bacterial, fungal, any kind of infection going. And like, I
was it like strep or something. Like they're like, you have chronic strep.
I don't understand like why just doing cultures would. I mean, it seems so routine to like get a swab and culture it, but that. That should be the standard of care, but it seems like that hardly ever happens.
I know. I mean,
they're like, no, you're crazy. That'll be $250.
It's ridiculous. Well, luckily in Massachusetts, which by the way, not luckily anymore because I've realized that the government is the beast and that they, no, we have Mass Health. So at least if I do go to the doctor and I do get doxycycline from like a local doctor, I don't have to pay anything for that. So
well, that sounds like something I can stand behind.
Right. So like that is definitely a huge benefit to like the doxycycline route because it's free. So
yeah.
You know, I think that if I were to like want to cure this in a different way, I think like I would just go somewhere really like tropical and sit in the sun and be in the water. You know what I mean? I think that really would be like the best solution.
Ooh,
would be
that's the happy place. I'm like
being like content and
I like
and being,
that. That's a good visualization for like self-soothing. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you get past the hell.
Yes, yeah. Or if you can get through the hell together, you know,
yes.
Like it is truly like it's the one of the only things, the only remedies that actually relieves any of this experience, you know, like it really is. I'm really really grateful that you reached out.
It's so good to meet you too.
Yay!
And,
this has put a huge smile on my face tonight. What a gift.
I needed this. Thank you. You got me out of my victim mindset because I really needed that. I did.
Yes.
Like we need each other to be able to like
yes.
encourage and
right.
be able to Because no one else gets this. Like, I can have my friends pray for me at church all I want, but they don't get it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's still something too, though. Like, just to have people pray for you is something, you know,
because
if you don't get it, you don't get it. And like, but it's still something to have people like supporting you, you know?
Yes.
And like, I'm here for you. You're here for me. So.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Well, have an incredible rest of your evening. I need to eat.
Yes. You as well. I'll talk to you later, girl.
All right. Bye. Bye.